Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Podcast. This is snap reactions for the quarterback position in and after week four, heading into week five. And so I did something a little bit different. We're at like the, there isn't really a true quarter mark anymore because we're dividing into 17. However, this is week four, so it felt like the closest we'd gotten. So I did want to revisit something that I'd done earlier on in the offseason, which was basically the 2023 confidence for quarterbacks, right? So basically looking at the how confident are we that these guys will be starters in 2023. So I'm going to go down each team and use some relevant metrics and and just talk about each one of them and see if we have any changes. But it gives us a lens of like thinking kind of long-term and a short-term season, a week-to-week season, but thinking about sort of the long-term and how it changes our opinion on these guys. So Josh Allen, he's still pretty confident in being the 2023 starter for the Bills. He's expected points per game one, points per game two is his actual production. 74.9 PFF grade. These are down a little bit. I almost wonder if they made the grading harder, it feels like, or quarterback play just generally down. I think there's some defensive stuff that's going on and sort of across the league. Smarter people than I will come to find this out, but it's a consistent trend that we've seen in sort of some of these stats. I think quarterbacks are being played differently. Defenses are playing quarterbacks differently. And as a result, we're seeing some different of these gradings and stuff. So I'll be interested to see sort of if it's just a blip, an early season blip, if this is stuff that changes, or if this is kind of a new reality that we're dealing with. So we see these things go back and forth from year to year and through different eras. This kind of feels like a little bit of a, it's 4 weeks, but the numbers are pretty different than they were last year, way, way down. I mentioned this, I think, last week or the week before. But grades are pretty consistently down across the board here at the position. So confident in him. Again, Case Keenum is his backup. Miami is interesting. Tua is quarterback four in PFF grade, 9 yards per attempt. It's interesting because 4.1% of his throws are big-time throws, 5.4% turnover-worthy play rate, 13th in points per game, 28th in expected points, 7% touchdown rate. Again, this is exactly how you perform this far over expectation, 7% touchdown rate this season. His career is actually 4.4. So when you just sort of look, it's pretty over. It's a couple points over expectation this year. And that's kind of where you see him performing over expectation. So, again, the yards per attempt, that's probably better than that is certainly better than his expectation. And it's better than his expectation, especially when you look at his ancillary metrics of, his big-time throw rate and all that stuff. So I do think he's taking a step forward. But it's worth noting, he's basically been twice as many turnover-worthy plays as big-time throws in his career. He's getting closer to even, but he's still not even, right? So that's kind of the deal there. It's a little bit damning, honestly. He feels very much like a left-handed Garoppolo to me. That's very much what he feels like. And this system's really good, right? This system's really good. That's essentially what you see. If you can be, adequate in this really good system, they can really open some doors for you in with particularly good weapons. Like this is, it adds up, right? That's a lot of additive qualities to this offense. But if you look, he's expected for 904 yards. He has 1035. So, right, you're just right there. You see sort of the difference with these of just how far over sort of expectation he is performing. So that right there. And again, he is expected for 6.5 touchdowns. He has 8. So, and he's expected for, he's got no expectations in terms of runs or anything like that. It's just basically all the yardage over expectation, which again, a couple of those long plays really, really makes a difference. So that's kind of the deal there. I think he's probably the starter in 2023. I put this out on Twitter, and I'm interested. I'm going to do a little bit more of this. I've talked about this a bit. But it's basically the question of, like, assume the Miami Dolphins pick in the top five of the 2023 NFL draft and could select the quarterback two on their board in the 2023 class. Do you think they will select that quarterback? 40% said yes. 60% said no. By the way, for the Patriots, we'll get to in a second, 55% said yes. So it's interesting treatment there between Tua and Mac Jones for where they're at. So I think that's an interesting difference there in terms of their treatment. You look at New England, and this one's interesting. Mac Jones is actually quarterback 16 in expected points, 25 in performance. So he's basically the exact opposite of Tua. His touchdown rate is 2.06%. His expected touchdown rate is 4.06%. So half the expected touchdowns, just basically half the expected touchdowns. And, right, I think that's surprising from a couple of perspectives. I didn't think he was going to be in line for an expectation in the top, you know, at the top of the right, quarterback two type landscape. That's not what I expected in this offense. But that he's underperforming it, I think, is you know, certainly a problem. His metrics aren't what we give him credit for, I don't think. He's 29th in PFF grade. 5.8% big-time throw rate, that's really good. 5.1% turnover-worthy play rate, that's bottom five in the league. So he's becoming a little bit like he's like the Jameis Winston of the AFC East. Is this a long-term trend? I don't know. But this certainly wasn't where he was last year. But it has very Jameis Winston-like tendencies to it. I think he's going to be the starter next year, would sort of be my assumption. But I'm treating him that way. But I do think it's a markedly different – it's a big step back in terms of his PFF grade from 78 last year to 58 this year, twice the turnover-worthy play rate, right? So there is some there's a little bit of you know, a little bit of regression there in terms of his performance that I don't think is necessarily luck based. It's a little bit he's coming down back to earth a bit. So we'll see how this goes over the you know, once he can get back from this injury and sort of how his second season can progress. I think he's a long term starter there, but if they picked in the top five, like this is a team that could sneakily pick in the top five of this draft. It wouldn't shock me if they took a quarterback. So just for what that's worth. We have Zach Wilson back. I'm withholding my judgment through one game. I'm just going to withhold my judgment. That's what I'm saying about Zach Wilson at this point. So he's got time. I think, you know, the next month, I think, is going to be pretty critical for what we think about him. That would sort of be my thought. Lamar Jackson, I do think he's going to be a 2023 starter. Not a ton of mystery there. We look 9.4% touchdown rate. Again, how did he get to quarterback one a couple years ago? 9% touchdown rate. You sort of get to that number, that's where you finish. So we'll see. It's 2.8% over expectation. Second biggest performance over expectation. He's expected for fifth in points per game. He's actually at one. Again, so you look at the touchdown rate, right? Now we sort of understand this. You're basically a standard deviation over expectation. That's what takes you from a mid quarterback one to quarterback one, right? That's the difference right there. And so he's just sort of a living embodiment of that. If he could do it twice in his career, it'd be pretty wild. We don't have expectation. I don't know, for reasons that I don't understand, PFF didn't go back and actually make that available. But I'd be really curious to see how he performed over expectation on his touchdown rate in his MVP season, because I would suspect it's like a similar performance over expectation. 5.6% big time throw rate. Again, that compares pretty favorably to the league. 3.4% turnover worthy play rate. 219 yards on design runs. That is compared to 68 yards actually expected on those runs. So just a freaky performance there on the ground, just getting a lot more than would be expected. He's exactly on the number. You almost never see this. Exactly on the number of 893 yards passing was his expectation. He's got 893 yards passing. So exactly on the number. It's almost, I haven't seen it since I've been studying these. So that's pretty cool. All right, Joe Burrow. He is projected to be a starter next year, and I haven't changed my opinion on that one. 8 touchdown passes. He's expected for 9.65, so 9.7. Again, that's under expectation. Just think of last year, of all the stuff that we said about him. Hey, he's expected to, he's massively outperforming expectation. You got to sort of be careful because he sort of needs to really improve that expectation, and not sort of get dinged by regression along the way for those things for him to really progress. Right? He's basically swimming into multiple multiple currents in his face by coming into the season. He needed to both increase his expectation and increase his actual production, he's increased his expectation, but has fallen off of that expectation in terms of some of the additional stuff. Big step back in terms of PFF grade. He's down to 65. He was up in the 90s last year, so that's a big downtick. 3% big time throw rate, 4.1 turnover worthy plays. Again, so on that negative split, not great. Fourth in expectation, seventh in PFF. Seventh in actual points per game. So, that's actually up from where he was last year. So it's interesting. He's disappointing relative to expectation, but that's actually an improvement on where he's at. So that is an interesting spot there. Davis Mills. This one was, I came into this, and this is actually the Davis Mills. I actually thought about Davis Mills in this specific context. Like, Davis Mills is the reason that I wanted to do this show. And so I was looking at Davis Mills, 12th in PFF grade, 69.3. It's actually up from last year, where he's at 59. So we talk about all these guys who are underperforming relative to last year. Davis Mills, up almost, he's up between 15 and 20% above where he was last year, when almost everyone is down from last year. 12th in PFF grade. That's pretty notable. Regressing some in yards per attempt, down to 6.4 from 6.8. I think it's almost entirely, there's a couple of things that explain him this season. Big time throw rate was 3.8 last year, plummeted to 1.3 this year. So way down from what he was doing last year. The turnover-worthy play rate also way down from last year. 4.3 last year, down to 1.8 this year. He's basically a glorified game manager at this point. So, again, I don't know if that's a difference in philosophy or sort of what exactly that's attributed to, but that's something I want to keep watching and see sort of why that is as we go along. One thing I will note, right, I do think if you sort of look at the yards per attempt, you're like, oh, it's kind of disappointing. He's actually down in yards per attempt. One thing to just keep in mind on that, his drop rate last year was 3.7% of his attempts were dropped. This year it's 9.3. So I actually think that there is some room for him to really grow. I'm super curious to see sort of how the rest of the season goes. They're not good. And I think that's certainly hurting him. But when you actually look at some of the stuff that he's done, right, some of the metrics are all right. When you look, though, at some other metrics, they're not great. His success rate, for example, is 37%. That's 30th out of 32 qualifiers. Justin Fields and Baker Mayfield are the only ones worse than that. When you look at his actual EPA per play, he ranked 31st, only ahead of Baker Mayfield. So there's some stuff in here that's like, hey, he's actually might be doing a little bit better. There's other stuff in here that's, hey, he's probably, I think some of it is his supporting cast isn't helping him. Some of it's probably that he's performing worse than is being picked up on some of the tracking stuff. So that's the deal there. So interesting stuff there. There's indicators on either side of his performance so far this year. So we'll see. They'll probably come back towards the middle would be my assumption. Matt Ryan has totally and completely fallen off the map. Just by way of reference, he has the same PFF grade as Trevor Lawrence, for what that's worth. So just keep that in mind. He has the worst PFF grade of his career, 59.3. His prior worst was 68.6. His next worst after that was actually 74.7. So just he's way bad compared to where he has been. 0.6% of his throws are big-time throws. That's horrendous. 5% of his plays are turnover-worthy plays. That's horrendous. One thing I looked at, and I don't know if he's seeing ghosts or what's wrong with him or if he's just gone. You know, he might sometimes people just fall off a cliff real quick. His career average in terms of the amount of pressures that turn into sacks, right, his pressure to sack rate, it's about 15-16%, somewhere in that range, right? When you sort of look at it, his highest of his career, 19.2%. This year, 30. Okay, 30. So what does that tell you? Well, across the board, it tells you that there's his, just to close that loop, 15.9 is his career average. It tells you that there's a big time drop in performance, right? His big time throw rate down from 4.6 on his career to 0.6, right? He's getting sacked a ton, right? He's turning the ball over. This is very much the signs of a quarterback that's cooked. So not great here. Hopefully some rebound can come, but this whole situation, like, this is a team that could sneakily draft very high this year going forward. Again, we talk about them. We talk about premium players, premium positions. They aren't it. And that's an interesting roster build with them, because I think there's a lot thought of their GM, of their front office. But when you look at it, right, they have a lot of holes in key places, which is, I think, an interesting juxtaposition versus what they're thought of, as a franchise. Trevor Lawrence, 25th in PFF grade, 7.1 yards per attempt. He has 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's expected actually for 9th in terms of points per game. He's at 12. The touchdown rate is expected for 7.4%. Again, they throw it when they get down there. That's second highest in the league. And he's got a 6% touchdown rate. So he's actually underperforming that. So that's interesting there. His success rate so far on the season is actually 3rd at 54.2%. So again, you see that split between actual performance versus the graded performance. When you actually look at his EPA per play, that's a little bit worse. He's down to 7th. But again, top 10 in production so far this year. That's good, right? That's good performance. I would say I think part of that probably is just an ease of the system, right? I don't think that they're asking him to do too much. Again, you sort of can get that EPA really high if you're sort of expected for a lot of touchdowns, right? Down by the end zone, you score a touchdown, you're actually expected for it. Big time throw rate is actually worse this year than last year. So he's at 2.8 this year. He was at 3.4 last year. That's notable. His turnover-worthy play rate actually up. 3.7% last year, 4.6% this year. ADOT down to 8.2 last year, 7.5 this year. I will say one thing with Trevor Lawrence that's been pretty consistent, avoids sacks really well in the 14% range. That's where he was last year. So just sort of be careful. Again, he's had basically 2 pretty good games, one horrendous game this past week, and one pretty bad game, one passable game in week 1. Again, you sort of keep in mind that 4 of the turnover-worthy plays were sort of in a rainstorm, but even then he was still, 4 big time throws and 3 turnover-worthy plays through 2 games. So, just sort of be careful there. We'll see sort of him going forward. He's got a rebound from this past week, but, let's not anoint him yet, because I think he's getting the benefit of some usage stuff that, he got exposed last week a bit, and I think a way that we sort of have to be careful with pre-anointing people, and that should be a lesson that we consistently learn at the quarterback position. Patrick Mahomes, turns out he's pretty good. 4th in PFF grade, 7.6 yards per attempt, big-time throw rate 5.1, 2.9% turnover-worthy play rate. It's basically a median season in his splits, 7.6 yards per attempt is his lowest of his career. It's actually tied from last year. So when you look at it, again, just sort of humming along up there, way up there at the position, and it's not even a great season for him. It's just, that's why you take these guys, because the floor is so high. It's just really, really high. is really the big thing that you take from a guy like this. Next up here, we have Justin Herbert, and he's playing through that injury to his ribs. So still it hasn't hurt him a ton in terms of his performance. He's 10th in PFF grade, 7.5 yards per attempt on his passes there. So again, you like these guys because of what they can provide for you in terms of both in terms of their ceiling and their floor. So again, I think maybe even right, he's gotten banged up. He hasn't been perfect. He's been without Keenan Allen. He's expected for quarterback 12 on the season. He's at quarterback 6 in his production. So again, you start looking at these. He's at 1,250 yards passing, well over his expectation so far. So good, good performance there by him on the season. And again, I think you have hopes for more as the season goes along. Keenan Allen gets healthy and everything, and they kind of get rolling. They have to adjust to, I think, some of the problems of Rashawn Slater being out and Keenan Allen being out, but I think you feel pretty good about where they're at long term. All right, Russell Wilson. I'm of a little bit of a couple of different minds here on Russell Wilson. So if you actually boil him down to a couple of things here. So if you look at his EPA per play, so again, that's your expected points added. That's the NFL metric. He's actually 17th. Okay, so like give you an idea. Brady's 18, Rodgers 19, Tannehill 16, Carr 15. Mariota 14, Burrow 13, Herbert 12, right? So, like, there's good names around him. There's good names below him, right? We could sort of keep doing that. But, that's a livable place to be. He's 15th in PFF grade. So, again, it's not terrible. When you look at some of the stuff I think I have an explanation for a couple of things that are ailing him. So when you look at his success rate, he's 29th out of 32 guys, right? So that's kind of always been a little of Russ's deal, which is like, hey, he kind of gets a lot of the big bang for the buck EPA stuff that really grades well for PFF, but he's got a low success rate. That's kind of always been the profile or the, I don't know, stereotype or the descriptor of his game, if you will. 4.1 big time throw rate. It's actually the lowest of his career. It was at 5.2 in 2015. It was actually the lowest before that. So again, that's a big difference. 1.2% turnover worthy play rate, also the lowest of his career. Prior to that, it was 1.5 in 2019. It's his lowest eight out of his career as well. So again, this is, things are trending in a little bit different way, right? We're trying to take some shorter stuff. We're trying to do some of this stuff. I think one of the big things that probably hasn't been talked about, and again, I'm not sure exactly how this gets fixed. I tend to believe that these things sort of, they just kind of happen. And I just kind of say, hey, they can sort of happen in bunches. It can be unlucky. It can just sort of happen to you. 11.1% of his passes have been dropped. That's by far the highest of his career. Only ahead of him in drop passes is actually Zach Wilson, who, again, he dropped back 40 times, threw it 36 times. So, again, a little bit of variance there. But he actually had 18.2%. So, again, maybe he'll get some better puck luck here going forward. But, yeah, Russell Wilson, the next highest after Russell Wilson is Jared Goff at 9.8%, who we'll talk about with his stuff as well. So I think I think Russ is fine. I think the outcome of Russ hasn't been maybe what we wanted, but listen, if you tell, not every change in quarterback of teams, not every time a quarterback changes teams is Stafford to the Rams. Not every time it's that, right? There are times most of the time that's not a seamless process. You have a changing coach, you have a changing quarterback, a first-time coach, right? He's had some problems, all of that. I think you're seeing some of this, you know, some of it playing out in Ross's numbers, right? Bringing him down a little bit in terms of his numbers. Lowest time to throw of his career as well at 2.75, right? So they're getting it out quicker on him. I think he's going to take some adjustment to that. But I think, you know, if he got some better puck luck in terms of his drops, right, I think he would be, I think he would actually be performing to a higher number. And we wouldn't be super, super worried about it, is sort of my thought when looking at him. When you look at actually his yardage, he's actually, despite all of those drops, he's performing over expectation in terms of yardage. So he's expected at 19. He's performing at 16. So, again, I think as this comes along, I don't think this is as much of a Russ problem. You know, he's expected for 7 touchdowns. He has 4, right? So I think things will get better for him, is sort of my prognosis for him. I don't think he's performing that poorly. I think he's a buy candidate at this time. Derek Carr, worst PFF grade since his rookie season, 59. Turnover the play rate, it's his worst since his rookie season. At 5%. Big time throw rate, worst since his rookie season at 3.0%. It's actually his lowest drop rate of his career at 4.1%. He's better under pressure, 8.2 yards per attempt, than clean, right? This is just all out of whack. I still maintain the conspiracy theory that he's playing on a one-year deal, a sham one-year deal. We'll see how that sort of – how that turns out, but I still think he's I still think his contract's a little sham-worthy, but so he really needs to bounce back. Otherwise, I think he could find himself changing landscapes here in the offseason. A good word of note, he's expected for 8 points per game, and that's been a lot of that. It's actually been without Renfro. He's at 14 points per game. So even though he's basically disappointed across the board, it's still pretty good. So good for him there in terms of his production being pretty good, the system helping him. He's just not living sort of up to it yet. So we'll see here as this goes along. I have some hope for him to potentially turn it back around. Jalen Hurts, I think I have to move him into the confident territory for 2023. He's going to play them out of a pick really high in the draft. So that's good. 9.1 yards per attempt. PFF grade of 85.7. That is quarterback one. Big time throw rate, 4.4. Turnover-worthy play rate, 1.2. That's almost 4 times better than 4 times better big time throw rate than turnover to play rate. You love to see that. Really good performance for him on the season. And listen, he's an exciting player, and I think he's taken a step forward as a passer, which is really what I think everyone wanted to see. He's expected for 883 yards, and he has 1120. That's a huge, huge performance. He's expected at quarterback two. He is a quarterback three type production. He's actually underperforming passing touchdowns for what that's worth there. He's actually underperforming rushing touchdowns as well. So he's overperforming his passing yardage and underperforming basically by about a little over a touchdown in terms of his actual expectation there. So, so a good season for him, a really high floor, and I think an exceptionally high ceiling too. So exciting season for him, and really turning out to be could definitely play himself into being a top 10 dynasty quarterback, if not higher, going into next season. And especially if he gets that big payday, like this is a big time change in his profile here through 4 weeks. So hope this keeps up, and this could really definitely change the way that we think about him. Almost like, I hate to sort of use this comp, but almost in like a Josh Allen type trajectory leap through a couple of years. He makes this big change and really changes the way we sort of view him. This is Hurts is sort of setting up in that lane. Daniel Jones, all the worst of his career in terms of his production, 6.0 yards per attempt, 62.8 PFF grade, big time throw rate of 1.7%. Turnover-worthy play rate is 2.6%. It's actually the best of his career. I don't think he's going to be a starter. I do give him some credit for going out there and sort of gutting it out with that ankle injury. That didn't look pretty. He's under by basically 100 passing yards. He has 15 points per he's ranked 15th in points per game, 28th in actual expectation. So Good for him in terms of like how he's actually doing fantasy wise, but I don't think he's changed his reality in terms of his long-term prognosis. Carson Wentz, worst PFF grade of his career, 3.2% big-time throw rate, is the worst of his career since his rookie season. It was 2.6. 3.8 turnover-worthy play rate is actually the third worst of his career. His average has been 3.8, so he's on the bad side of his average. You know, when you look at the grading stuff, it's not good either. The success rate's really low. He's 27th in success rate. So again, I think he's kind of playing himself into teams looking at him, 29th in PFF grade, for example, as well. Like when you look at him, teams are sort of cycling through him as an option before truly resetting. I kind of wonder if this year maybe isn't a good example of why you shouldn't do that. Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones is a little bit of a trial. I guess the ones that have actually worked have been Mariota and Geno Smith so far. I just look at some of these and you're trying to basically get the best of a bad situation, sort of try and rebound, and what you end up doing is just sort of leaving yourself in purgatory. I kind of wonder if maybe this won't be the beginning of teams sort of learning that lesson with Baker playing pretty poorly, Carson Wentz playing pretty poorly, and Matt Ryan totally falling off a cliff. I'm sort of wondering if we don't see that maybe here. It's a changing way that teams think about quarterbacks. Rodgers is 26th in expected points per game, is 24th in actual points per game. That's not great. 6.1 big time throw rate is right in line with his career number. 6.7 ADOT is tied for his lowest of his career since a handful of snaps early in his career when he wasn't the starter. Since becoming the starter in 2008, his lowest ADOT was 7.3, and that was in 2017. The lowest season before that was 8.1. He has not had a season. He's had two seasons under an 8 ADOT since he's been a full-time starter, going back to 2008 this year and in 2017, the 2 years that's happened. So this is a notable departure in terms of the structure of his offense. Again, I can't predict year to year what he's going to do. He's still performing sort of fine. I just think this is an example that the talent around him is not super good, and you're sort of seeing that with his expectation down, with his ADOT down. He's sort of kind of settling for less in this offense. Justin Fields is expected for 31 in terms of his points per game rank, 24th in actual points per game. His turnover-worthy play rate is 5%. His big-time throw rate is 1.4%. That's pretty dismal. He's the lowest-graded PFF passer. He is at 7 yards per attempt, which actually isn't horrible. But when you look actually dropbacks of the guys that qualify, he has he's basically, of the guys that have started 4 games, he's the lowest. Cooper Rush actually hasn't started a full 4 games and has 9 more attempts than he does. And Mac Jones has more attempts more dropbacks than Justin Fields does, despite playing only 3 games, to give you an idea. He's turning 32.7% of his pressures into sacks. That is up in the Matt Ryan territory of being bad at handling pressure. So this is looking like a failed experiment. I am moving him from being I had sort of given him confidence because that's what I did with all the 2023 guys. The 2021 guys heading into this year, I sort of said we're going to give them 3 years. I don't think Justin Fields deserves that with his production. I think there's probably more to his profile that we know, and their usage of him is probably one of those things that we should take a lesson from. Goff is quarterback 5 in points per game, 7th in expected points per game. When you actually look at him, he's 13th in dropbacks per game. Some interesting stuff, like you actually go back and look at it, just toy around a little bit with some of the numbers. His success rate from 2017 through 2021 was 47.9. This year it's actually down to 44. However, when you actually look at some of the EPA stuff, which is kind of interesting, his time with the Rams and the McVay era was actually a 1.13 expected points added per dropback. And again, that's the NFL side, right? Expected NFL points added. Last year it was negative 0.048. This year it's actually 0.136. So 0.006 better than he was in the Goff McVay era of his career. So down in success rate, but actually up in expected points added. That's usually signals some additional big plays that were going on, right? That's kind of when your success rate's down, but your expected points added, that just means you're sort of getting more bang for your buck on the bigger plays. I thought that was notable, right? Is he playing himself into a starting job? I don't know. He's one that I think is really interesting in terms of long-term, like how does a team view Jared Goff? Right. Again, I think he's like in that Jimmy Garoppolo Tua range of the position where in a good system with everything sort of right, he can play pretty well. When things start going well, he's not going to elevate their game. So how do you sort of view that in the construct of contracts and all that stuff? I think it's a really interesting question and one that I don't have a great amount of confidence on. However, like he can like if they ever get a little bit of luck and maybe a little bit of defense, he can absolutely play themselves out of picking early in the draft to select a replacement for him. That's one thing I think that he has an edge on. All right, Kirk Cousins, 18th in points per game, 15th in expected points per game. He's got an expected touchdown rate of 5.4. Again, he's usually pretty good at that, and his touchdown rate is actually elevated. 3.8 is his actual expectation. So, again, some of that stuff can be fluky, and this is what happens. 3.0% big-time throw rate is the worst of his career. 6.6 yards per attempt is his worst since 2015. 3.4 percent turnover-worthy plays is worse since 2017 in Washington. 7.0 ADOT. Again, that's his worst of his career by almost a full yard. So I think this isn't a great adjustment to the new system is really the big time takeaway that I would have from this transition for Kirk Cousins. Let's turn to the AFC South here. Brady, big. PFF grade. This is basically the worst since 2019. That was 76. This is 77.1. The last time it was under 80 before that was in 2009. So that's going back quite a ways there. He is expected at 21. He's overperforming that with a quarterback 16 points per game. The big time throw rate's still there, 4.2%, 1.2% turnover-worthy play rate, 77.1 PFF grade. Again, that's still very good and relative to the position, but down from where he's at in his career. 4.4% touchdown rate expectation. He's at 3.9%. So again, I think he has some room to really grow. In addition to where he's at this year, he gets some of his guys back. I think he's a good buy low for maybe the rest of this year. Again, if he's on a team, that team could be 1-3. And I think he has a better end of the season than he has beginning of the season. So that's a thought there. Jameis Winston's doing Jameis Winston things. 5.7% big-time throw rate, 5.1% turnover-worthy throw rate, turnover-worthy play rate. So the full range there, you get high variance with him, and that's kind of what you get. 66.9 PFF grade, so kind of down there. It's in right in the quarterback two range of performance. So that is what you get with him. It's not super surprising. Maybe the more surprising stuff has been Baker Mayfield, 49.3 PFF grade, totally falling off a cliff. Good job by Cleveland to not sort of get baited into paying him. So that's a good find there for them. 0.8% big time throw rate, 2.8% turnover-worthy play rate. He's definitely playing himself out of a starting job. That's super clear to me at this point. Marcus Mariota is actually playing himself I don't know what he's doing. 59.5 PFF grade. That's pretty, you know, middle of the road. 2.8% of his throws have been big time throws. 5.7% have been turnover worthy plays. That's pretty bad. You know, so you actually look at this, like, that's actually worse than Jameis Winston. So we think of, oh, Mariota is going to take care of the ball. Hasn't been doing that. So that's the one note there. I think the system's pretty good, though. Expected for 14 points per game and 23rd in actual points per game. When you actually look, when you just, like, I have high hopes for Arthur Smith going forward, because you just look at, you look at Marcus Mariota with some of the stuff that they're doing. He's 31st in dropbacks per game. And just take a look at a couple of these numbers. 31st in dropbacks per game, 25th in actual plays per game, and their design pass rate is 50.4%. That's 31st. However, he ranks 14th in expected points per game, is way up there in terms of, like, he's overperforming, again, versus his volume, versus the amount that he's actually used in the offense. It's a really good expectation. He's just underperforming it. I kind of, if Arthur Smith were to get one, right? If he were to get a good quarterback, whether it's a rookie or something like that, that's a super intriguing place for a quarterback to land, because he's shown the ability to really to make it a good situation for potential quarterbacks to go play in. So kind of excited for that one. It's the worst PFF grade of Mariota's career, sort of. So for what that's worth, as well. All right, last but not least here, the NFC West. And we've got, I think, let's just start with it. Kyler Murray, it's 64.5 PFF grade, 2.7% big time throw rate, 2.5% turnover worthy play rate. When you look at it, totally fallen off a cliff in terms of his big time throws while staying right in line with his turnover worthy plays. That's not great. It's the lowest PFF grade since his rookie season, so taking a big step back there. Taking a big step back in yards per attempt. All of that stuff, not great there. He's actually getting the ball out earlier. It almost has the feeling of a quarterback that feels totally indifferent, which can't feel great. That it's actually kind of what it looks like. Just like, hey, I'm going to get the hell out of here type of deal with him. I hope that's not the case, but yeah, he's expected for quarterback 3 in terms of his actual expectation, performing at quarterback 8, so underperforming that. Expected for 7.7 touchdowns, has 5. So he did get paid. I am sort of skeptical. I am a Kyler Murray skeptic, so color me a little bit concerned about his long-term sort of direction. Next up here, we have we've got Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think he's going to probably find himself in a position to play, you know, next year. Again, a couple of notes here on his stuff. Again, it's early. It's only 83 dropbacks, but 4 big-time throws, 2 turnover-worthy plays, 4.9% of his throws, big-time throws, 2.2% of his plays, turnover-worthy plays. That's a marked difference from where he has been at in his career. So that's a notable progression from him, 7.8 yards per attempt. Again, that system can be like shooting fish in a barrel. So optimistic that he finds himself a starter job next year. We'll sort of see how the NFL views that in light of the Wentz-Mayfield sort of experience. Matthew Stafford has struggled a bit here, 6.8 yards per attempt, 4 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, turnover-worthy play rate of 4.1, big-time throw rate of 3.9, taking sacks at a really high rate of 29.1% of his pressures. So don't love any of that. I tend to think that this thing's going to get better. The question is I don't know. There's no magic bullet. There's no magic, there's no magic change other than to say that I think there's some regression that's going to happen. So he's 32nd in points per game. He's expected for 13th, 5 touchdowns under expectation. Right, so just some of that's going to come back. He's an expected touchdown rate of 6%. So you think, okay, that's pretty good. 2.7% is his actual touchdown rate. I think he's going to bounce back. I think he's going to rebound. But this hasn't been a great start. I'm buying low because I like him now. I like him long term, and I think him and McVay get this figured out, even if maybe the system around him. Maybe this is an example of if you're not going to trade all your guys away, you can't take guys like Tutu Atwell who don't fit prototypical size speed stuff, right? You have to, if you're going to trade your picks away, you kind of have to give yourself a shot to nail some of the other stuff, especially on offense, and they haven't been able to do that. And I think that, you know, the loss of Van Jefferson too is, you know, we can sort of poke fun at Van Jefferson, but I think that that is really probably hurt them as well, because he's been a vertical element that they just do not have. So Will Fuller would look really good there, would be sort of my thought. Last but not least, certainly not least, Geno Smith. Expected coming into the season to basically be roster fodder, essentially. Ninth in points per game fantasy, 22nd in expectation. So performing well over expectation, right in line with touchdowns, basically. 81.5 PFF grade, 4.2 big time throw rate, 4% turnworthy throw rate. So he's over expectation in yards, he's over expectation in touchdowns. Over expectation, scramble yards, so good performance there for him. What does we don't have a good comp for this. That'll be the thing that I would say. Like, we don't have a comp for a guy that basically has gone, you know, from 2014 through 2012 with like less than 300 dropbacks, turning around to then have the best season of his career by a wide margin. He's down in the trouble stuff too. Like, pressure to sack rate is the lowest of his career, way up in PFF grade. This is a really interesting development. So, I am open to the idea that he's going to be a long-term play, or he's at least going to be, maybe not necessarily a long-term play, but I mean, is this a Ryan Tannehill situation? We might be heading in that direction. That is not crazy to think. There is some evidence to back it up. He played well last year. So this isn't just an aberration, right? He actually played well last year on 112 attempts. So, you know, this is 250 attempts here in the past 2 years where he's actually been, you know, he had a NFL quarterback rating last year of 103. He's got 108 this year. He's up at the top of the position in PFF grade. And again, I don't think it's not an aberration. It really isn't. He's fourth in success rate. When you actually look at his EPA per play, right? Just his NFL EPA per play, it's 0.229. That's fifth this year. CPOE, at completion percentage over expectation, he's at 12.4. By way of reference, number two is Tua Tagovailoa at 3.8. So all of those things, like, it's very, very positive indicator for him. I don't want to take a second for Geno right now. I don't want to take a second. That sounds crazy to say out loud, but I do not want to take a second, especially if he's in my lineup, especially if I'm sort of playing him. Right, there might be a situation where you feel more comfortable playing him than you feel comfortable playing Stafford at the moment. That doesn't feel good. But that might be a reality as Stafford and the Rams sort of get this thing figured out, and Geno's kind of running hot. Like, I haven't looked at matchups yet for next week, but a football guy certainly suggested it this week. So I'm open to the idea that Geno Smith can be a long-term, at least a, you know, maybe not a decade, but sort of in that, is this a Ryan Tannehill situation? Because it certainly looks like it. And I'm open to that, and I'm not going to sort of bail on that for a second, right? I think with a second, you're just like, okay, what am I going to get with that, right? Backup running back fodder. You're basically trading, you know, a premium position for a backup running back. And I think I'd rather just take the premium position at this point and see how it plays out. So that's sort of my thought on Geno. Again, I'd take a future first, but I don't think I want to bail for a future second right now. That's not the pivot that I would make. So I want to definitely go up the position. If he's an asset to move up to a Russell Wilson or up to a Matthew Stafford or up at the position like that, I'm interested in doing that, but I'm not selling for a future second. All right, well, that'll do it for this edition. Again, like 49 minutes on quarterbacks this week. So hope you enjoyed it. And a different way to look at the position and think of this in a more dynasty-centric way. So that'll do it for this edition. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.